Recently, we went to New York in search of the comedy icon Elaine May, to which you're either saying, who? Or, oh my God, Mike Nichols and Elaine May, the comedy duo beginning in the 1950s that begat so many others with improv routines like this one, Elaine May playing Mike Nichols' needy mother.
I sat by that phone all day Friday.
Honey, I was working.
All day Friday night.
Darling, I was in the lab.
And all day Saturday.
And all day Sunday. Mom.
And your father finally said to me, Phyllis, eat something, you'll faint. I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son calls it.
Elaine May made it okay for women to be comedians. Mike Nichols says the pair broke up because he became more afraid than Elaine did of the improv aspect. She was braver. Dick Cavett called them comic meteors. Both Nichols and May became filmmakers. She wrote the screenplay for Heaven Can Wait. Together they wrote The Birdcage, which Nichols also directed. But Elaine May directed the cult classic The Heartbreak Kid, about Lenny, who falls in love with another woman on his honeymoon, and he's about to tell his wife in a diner known for pecan pie, filled with anxiety, which he takes out on a hapless waiter who tells him there's no pecan pie.
Are you joking? No pecan pie?
Honey. Sorry, sir.
No pecan pie?
Honey, what are you doing? Do I
mean, the main reason we came here is for the pecan pie.
Oh, that's all right, honey.
No, it's not all right. I mean, they should have said that to us at the door. I mean, they should have warned us that there was a danger of running out of pecan pie.
Mike Nichols passed away in 2014. We hadn't heard much from Elaine May. And then, stunningly, there she is, returning to Broadway after 50 years in a remake of Kenneth Lonergan's Waverly Gallery, a memory play about his own grandmother, the Waverly Gallery being her art gallery in Greenwich Village. The original production starred Broadway great Eileen Heckart. Today, the curtain rises on a now 86-year-old Elaine May as Gladys Greene, telling her stage grandson, Lucas Hedges, about his parents' breakup. Elaine May is back.
I never knew anything was the matter. Your mother never told me anything. And then one day your father calls me on the phone, says he wants to drop by to say goodbye. He's moving out. I said, I don't understand what happened.
The play has an all-star cast, Joan Allen as Gladys's daughter, David Cromer as her son-in-law, and Michael Cera as the struggling artist a lonely Gladys allows to sleep in her gallery. And the play is about Alzheimer's and the toll it takes on families. We watch as we have Elaine May in our grasp and then begin to lose her over the course of the show, as elusive as ever. Even more so, because Elaine May hasn't given an interview in 50 years.
Hi.
So we sought to find Elaine May in actor Michael Cera and director Lila Neugebauer, an off-Broadway sensation making her Broadway debut with Ken Lonergan's play. We sat down and started talking, of course, about Elaine May.
You know, I did an informal, unscientific polling during the intermission. I would say half the people I spoke with, they had no idea who Elaine May was. I said, oh, that's a lovely actress up there. The others were there because of Elaine May. For you and Ken, this was a dream.
It was. I mean, yes, admittedly, I am under 40, but she's someone whose work and legend, just kind of general astonishingness, was very much something I was aware of. And I think her humanity felt so particularly well-suited to this role.
But how did you know that an 86-year-old actress was going to be able to sustain this?
It's hard not to bet on Elaine.
The truth is, the reason that I wanted to do this show was because of Elaine. I got like an email from my agent saying they're putting this together with Elaine, and I immediately emailed, begged him basically to let me be anywhere near the show.
And why?
Well, she's sort of my favorite director and one of my favorite performers, and then I got to meet her 4 years ago. We had lunch together and got to know each other, and then we had...
Wait, you got to meet Elaine May?
Yeah. She was very accessible. I think... I've learned recently that Elaine had no concept of any of my work or anything when she met me. She just said yes, just in a friendly sense.
When you say her films or her directing, what about it?
What about it? Well, it's very powerful. I mean, she only made 4 films, and there's an incredible range in them. She made The Heartbreak Kid, which is, I think, my favorite movie ever made. I can watch it really any time. And then the next thing she did was Mikey and Nikki, which was this very moving, dramatic, shattering work. So she has these four films and they display an incredible range.
Well, others have said even her flop, which was considered one of the biggest in history, Ishtar, is fabulous.
I'll take it. Yeah, I love it. It's better than a lot of things I've seen.
So, Michael, now you're on stage with her. Obviously, she's got the stamina. I mean, it's just stunning. What's the life force? What does it feel like?
Wow. It's very exciting. Elaine's really alive on stage, so our scenes are very different every night, depending on, like last night was really fun when she said, she has a line in the show where she says, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood now from South Korea. And last night she said North Korea. And it made her laugh a lot. Then she was basically laughing throughout the rest of the scene, which we just had to, you know, pretend was intentional.
She said people from North Korea, you know, with all their clothes, their nice clothes.
And then the next scene, there's like a echo of that line. She says to the family, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood from South Korea. And Joan has a line, what is this South Korea thing? So Elaine, in between scenes, she was like, what am I going to say in the next scene now? And she just said, there's a lot of people from Korea now. It's a pretty good fix.
It seemed to me, Ken Lonergan writes family, you know, and this is his family, and right. Cutting each other off, talking over each other, three conversations going on at one time.
She used to have this psychotic Dalmatian.
Zeke.
Which is spelled
Z-I-Q-U-E.
Who used to hide under the table when anybody came into the
room.
And
who she used to take on these cruises where they didn't allow dogs.
And she'd say...
Oh, no, they don't allow dogs on that boat, but I just take her anyway.
They don't mind. This
is the craziest... That's what's really striking about this play when you read it and see it, I think, is that those overlaps are very particular to this play, how many of them there are and how intensive they are, like dual conversations, and you just, as an audience, kind of like choose your own adventure in a way. In rehearsals, it kind of took a while for us to all sync up with that stuff because they have to be actually very specific. They sound very loose, but they can't be loose at all or else the timing gets off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think part of the pleasure and challenge of working on a play like this is that to achieve the effect of this kind of spontaneously rolling hypernaturalism, it actually requires tremendous technical virtuosity. It's scripted within an inch of its life, certainly. Yeah.
You know, the young man in the gallery who wants to put up a show?
He is putting up a show.
He told me he's leaving.
What?
He's going back to where he lives.
He is not.
He's packing up.
He's not.
He's leaving me with
he's
the
not leaving.
I never know
he's
where he
just
is.
Stop
talking a minute. Stop talking. Listen. He's just going home for the weekend. He will be back on Monday.
Who told you that?
He did.
As Elaine May's character fades, again, I went back and I watched Eileen Heckert just to see some of it on YouTube. I recommend it. It's amazing.
Oh, I didn't know it was on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it's a kind of a sad note. She died, actually, shortly after you're nodding, Lila. And here you are. I mean, it is Elaine May, and she's a prose pro. We all face our own mortality, but she's closer to hers than others might be, you know, and here she is enacting it. Was any of that difficult?
You know, at the first lunch that Elaine and I had, we talked specifically about the unmasterable challenge of how to enter the psychology of a person who's grappling with dementia. That was very much at the forefront of our minds. The play, I think, invites all of us to confront that which we are so often in the process of denying. What Kenny has done so masterfully is the kind of erosion of textual continuity in that character's language. That does a lot of the work. Of course, Elaine has to figure out how to make sense of that, and I think does so quite beautifully.
My grandson writes for a newspaper, and if you show him your work, he might just write it up.
What paper does he write for? What paper does he write for? Does he?
Well, if you want to put some of these up, a few of these up, we could do it and see what happens.
Oh, of course, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, but, you know, it's... not a big gallery, but it's cute. And a lot of students come here and they look around and we talk and they show me their work. There's some very good artists, but they have no one to help them. So this is not a fancy gallery, but it's okay.
No, I really like it. It has a lot of character.
I used to give many shows here, but I don't give that many anymore.
As you watched this, I mean, it's just pretty extraordinary to see this woman before our eyes fade.
Yeah, it's completely stunning every night. I've become almost like desensitized to how astounding it is, what she's doing. I can't quite have the emotional experience watching it. I'm watching it technically. But I watch the show like next to people backstage who are really riding the emotion of it and see them crying. It makes me feel a little like some kind of bot or something because I'm just standing there like calculating the changes they've made. But it really, it's just impressive to me.
Oh, look at the dog. She's crying.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she's crying because she wants to come in here because nobody's talking to her.
I'm going to start dinner.
That's actor Michael Cera, along with director Lila Neugebauer, talking about the new production of Kenneth Lonergan's Waverly Gallery, starring Joan Allen, David Cromer, Lucas Hedges, and the indomitable Elaine May. Run, don't walk. More at hereandnow.org.